News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I am Pathikrit Sengupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Police barricades, yellow banners, walls with a fresh coat of paint, and the sounds of bhajan mark parts of Ayodhya as the city awaits its big day on Wednesday when the first brick of the Ram temple will be laid. Ayodhya is decked up for the Bhumi Pujan that will be attended at the Ram Janmabhoomi by 175 people who figure in a select guest list of seers and politicians topped by Prime Minister Narendra Modi. The groundbreaking ceremony will be telecast live. Modi will attend a public function on laying of the foundation stone of the temple. Prior to the function, he will take part in puja and darshan at Hanuman Gadhi. Then he will travel to Sri Ram Janmabhoomi, where he will take part in puja and darshan of Bhagwan Sri Ram Lala Virajman. Modi will also plant a Parijat sapling and then perform the Bhumi Pujan. He will unveil a plaque to mark the laying of the foundation stone and also release a commemorative postage stamp on Sri Ram Janmabhoomi Mandir. Uttar Pradesh Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath's official residence at 5 Kalidas Marg in Lucknow was fully illuminated on Tuesday on the eve of the temple being built. Apart from scores of diyas, rangoli made with flowers added colour to the residence. Since Monday, Ayodhya has been illuminated in varied colours in Diwali-like celebrations. On the eve of the anniversary of abrogation of Article 370 and in a bid to further internationalize the issue of Kashmir, Pakistan on Tuesday issued a new map showing all of Kashmir as part of its territory. The map includes not just parts of Jammu and Kashmir and Ladakh, but also Junagadh in Gujarat, which means Pakistan is questioning the February 1948 plebiscite. India dismissed Pakistan's move as an exercise in political absurdity, saying it was laying untenable claims to territories in the Indian state of Gujarat and our union territories of Jammu and Kashmir and of Ladakh. The statement from the Ministry of External Affairs further said, "These ridiculous assertions have neither legal validity nor international credibility. In fact, this new effort only confirms the reality of Pakistan's obsession with territorial aggrandizement supported by cross-border terrorism," it added. The map was given a nod by Pakistan Prime Minister Imran Khan's cabinet, after which his government unveiled it. Khan termed it as a significant and big day, saying the release of the map was the first step in realizing the long-cherished dream of making Kashmir theirs. Khan, in fact, drew parallels between his ambition to be a world-famous cricketer from the age of 9 with that of Pakistan's desire to have Kashmir as part of its territory. Pakistan Foreign Minister Shah Mahmood Qureshi said, "Hamari manzil Srinagar hai," or "our destination is Srinagar." Gujarat Chief Minister Vijay Rupani lashed out at Khan, calling the changes in the map preposterous. This so-called political map of Pakistan, released by Prime Minister Imran Khan today, is a glaring example of how disconnected Pakistan PM is with ground realities. Pakistan will never succeed in its wicked design of undermining the unity and integrity of India, Rupani tweeted. This action of Pakistan is both preposterous and obnoxious. Gujarat condemns this absurd act of Pakistan unequivocally, he added. In Pakistan's new map, the part of Kashmir and Ladakh border with China was not marked and described as frontier undecided. Similarly, the line of control had been extended to the Karakoram Pass, showing Siachen as part of Pakistan. The LOC had been marked by a red dotted line. Another change in the map showed that the international border lines lies along the eastern bank of Sir Creek, which was previously along the western bank. The Pakistan cabinet also approved the decision to rename a major road in Islamabad as Srinagar Highway. The road was previously called Kashmir Highway. A massive explosion rocked Beirut on Tuesday, flattening much of the city's port, damaging buildings across the capital and sending a giant mushroom cloud into the sky. More than 70 people were killed and 3,000 injured, with bodies buried in the rubble, officials said. The blast struck with the force of a 3.5 magnitude earthquake, according to Germany's Geosciences Center, GFZ, and it was heard and felt as far away as Cyprus, more than 200 kilometers across the Mediterranean. The sudden devastation overwhelmed a country already struggling with both health and economic crises. For hours afterward, ambulances rushing in from around Lebanon carried away the wounded. Hospitals quickly filled beyond capacity, pleading for blood supplies and generators to keep their lights on. For blocks around the port where the explosion took place, bloodied residents staggered through streets lined with overturned cars and littered with rubble from shattered buildings. Windows and doors were blown out kilometers away. Army helicopters helped battle fires raging at Beirut's port. The cause of the blast was not immediately known, but initial reports suggested a fire had detonated a warehouse at the port. Abbas Ibrahim, chief of Lebanese General Security, said it might have been caused by highly explosive material that was confiscated from a ship some time ago and stored at the port. Local television channel LBC said the material was sodium nitrate. Witnesses reported seeing a strange orange-colored cloud like that which appears when toxic nitrogen dioxide gas is released after an explosion involving nitrates. The explosion came amid ongoing tensions between Israel and the Hezbollah military group on Lebanon's southern border. Many residents reported hearing planes overhead just before the blast, fueling rumors of an attack, though Israeli military overflights are common. An Israeli government official said Israel had nothing to do with the blast. And Neil Young sued President Donald Trump's re-election campaign on Tuesday for copyright infringement, saying he doesn't want his music used as a theme song for a divisive, un-American campaign of ignorance and hate. The Grammy Award-winning Canadian-born musician filed the lawsuit through his lawyers in Manhattan federal court, seeking up to $150,000 in statutory damages for each infringement. A message seeking comment was left with a campaign spokesperson. The legendary singer cited repeated use of two songs, Rockin' in the Free World and Devil's Sidewalk. The campaign has used the tunes numerous times at rallies and political events, including on June 20 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the lawsuit said. Young said he was not suing to disrespect the rights and opinions of American citizens who are free to support the candidate of their choosing, the lawsuit said. However, it added, plaintiff in good conscience cannot allow his music to be used as a theme song for a divisive, un-American campaign of ignorance and hate. Young first complained about the use of the 1990 single Rockin' in the Free World in June 2015, when the song accompanied Trump's announcement of his presidential campaign, according to the lawsuit. The campaign's insistence in a statement then that it had obtained permission to use the music only proved that it was aware it needed permission, the lawsuit said. It said Young has voiced continuous and public objections to the use of the music. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.